Welcome to the Christian Worship Center podcast. We pray that this message encourages you and inspires you. Visit us online at cwcbayarea.com for service times and directions.
As we talk about Vision Sunday, before God brings a blessing, God always brings things into order first. Before God does a thing, He always brings order first. Say it again, Pastor. And what am I talking about? Whether it's the feeding of the 5,000, whether it was the valley of dry bones, whether it was creation, God always introduced something into creation that first had a foundation introduced to it before. What am I saying? That God never introduced anything into an environment that didn't have the environment to sustain it first. So God always first made sure that there was a foundation before He introduced anything new into that arena. And what am I telling you? Many of us are praying for things that you do not yet have the environment to sustain it. You want to get married, but you know what? You're too selfish right now. You want kids, but you don't have a financial foundation prepared for them yet. You want to start a business, but you're too lazy right now. And so you show up late to the job that you have right now. You want to own a home, but you don't take care of the rental. You want a new car, but you're not taking care of the car that you have. You see, God brings order. Everyone shout order. He brings order first before He brings blessing. And many times, I want you to take a look at what you have on your vision card. That are you what you're believing God to introduce into your environment? Do you have the environment to sustain it? Do you have the ability to manage what God wants, what you're praying that God introduces you to? And in Ezekiel chapter 37, turn your Bibles there. What's the vision for 2024? What am I believing for? I want you to know that when I have a vision, it's not just for my family, it's for my family. Say it again, Pastor. My vision isn't just for my family, it's for my family. You're part of my family. I'm believing for your marriages to be whole. I'm believing for your families to come back together. I'm believing for you to get out of debt. I'm believing for you to get healthy. I'm believing for you to experience breakthrough. I'm believing for you to walk in your anointing, to walk in your call. I'm believing, God, that in 2024, that all the junk that you've gone through gets blown away and you finally step into the freedom that God created you for. Somebody say amen. Amen. We want marriage, children, influence, success. We want increase, but we want it without order. Many of us are in the condition of Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1 says this, "And the hand of the Lord came upon me." Someone say, "The hand of the Lord is on me." "The hand of the Lord is on me." "And He brought me out." Someone say, "He brought me out." "And the Spirit of the Lord in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley." Say this with me: God placed me here.
God placed me here.
You're not here by accident. You're here by assignment.
Amen.
Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. You're not here by accident. You're here by assignment. So He says, "And the valley was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass around them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were what?" They were what? Very dry. Bow your heads as we pray. Father, help in Jesus' name. Everyone says,
amen.
You may be seated this morning. I've preached on this before at the church, but I want to do this with a different set of lenses, if you would, this morning. I want you to all understand that you are either in the valley of dry bones. You are either the bones or you're the prophetic word to bring life to the bones. Right now in your life, you are either the dry bones that are in chaos, that are separated, that are disconnected. You are either living in chaos right now, or God placed you in that chaos to bring order, to bring life, and to bring restoration. Come on, say it again, Pastor. You are either the dry bones or you're either the word to bring life to the dry bones. You are either disconnected in chaos or you have been set in that place to bring life and order. You are either one that needs a word or you're that situation to bring the word. So you're there for a reason. Wherever you're at right now, God placed you there for a reason. Ezekiel, his name means God will strengthen. And God gave him a prophetic voice at the darkest time of Israel's history. And God gave him a word that no one would listen to. Knowing that no one would respond to it, he still had to prophesy to a nation that had turned their back on God. What does that sound like today? Ezekiel is now living in exile over 2,200 miles away from home. His nation has been defeated by the Babylonian nation. And they've been exiled to Babylon, taken away from their homeland. And no artist painted with the colors that Ezekiel paints with. The words that he uses, the verbiage, the clarity, the things that if he would have been an artist, he would have been Picasso. It would have taken someone with a good eye to really understand what he was trying to convey. And yet, Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 tells us about a valley. And I want to share with you three truths very quickly this morning. Three truths for 2024. How many are ready to receive it? Yeah. No, you didn't sound, that didn't sound right. How many are ready to receive it? Online, how many of you are ready to receive this? Three things I want to share with you. Number one, I want you to understand this, that the hand of the Lord is on you. Come on, someone say that with me. The hand of the Lord is on me. You are not alone. You are not here by accident. God's hand is on you. God has led you. God led you every step of the way. No matter how far away you may feel from God right now, you need to understand that God brought you to this place. God's hand has been on you when you were a child. He was on you when your parents divorced. He was on you when you got addicted. He was on you when you tried to get sober. He was on you when you were blessed. He was honored you. He was with you when you were cursed. His hand was on you when you went the wrong way and when you went the right way. God's hand has always been on your life. That's why you're not dead yet. Yeah. Come on, someone say, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Like I told you, you are not here by accident. You're here by assignment. Number two, you were led here by the Spirit. In 2024, you're going to understand this, that God led you. God brought you to where you ended up. There may have been circumstances you didn't like that brought you there, but it was God's Spirit that ultimately brought you to that point. That God's Spirit is the one that led you. The God's Spirit's the one that brought you to that situation. And number three, I need you to understand, God placed you in this valley. God placed you in the Silicon Valley. God knew where he needed you to be in this time, in this season. He needed your voice to be here. He needed your influence to be here. God's the one that placed. That's why you haven't moved away yet. That's why you haven't walked away yet. God placed you where you're at right now. And come hell or high water, I will not leave until my assignment is done. Come on, somebody say amen. God placed you here, and I want you to see the condition of the valley. The Bible says that he's in a low place. How many have ever been in a low place? Come on, you've been in that. You just wake up and you're, why am I depressed? Why do I feel like not getting out of bed? Why am I feeling like this right now? And you're usually a joyful person, but why am I feeling? COVID brought this cloud over so many individuals. It isolated us. And it got us to the point that we didn't think that we needed one another. You're in a low place, and the other thing that you find out that he was surrounded by many bones. That tells me this, that those bones used to be people, that there used to be life there. There used to be something that took place there. This was a gathering of people. They may have been an army. They may have been a congregation. They may have been a business or organization. But there was a lot of people there, and something happened, and that life was removed, and now they're dead. And not only are they dead, the flesh has been has rotted off the bones, and the bones aren't just sitting with skeletons. They've all been scattered. There's chaos. Have you ever been in a place of chaos? Yeah. Have you ever been in a place where you can't even think right? Everything's chaotic. Everything around you, there makes no sense. And you're trying to think clearly, but you can't because there's chaos. Chaos in the marriage, chaos with the kids. There's chaos in your business. There's chaos in the community. There's chaos in government. And everything just seems to be confusing. How many of you know that chaos is actually an opportunity. Wherever there's chaos, there's opportunity. Wherever you see that there's chaos, God wants to bring order. And if you notice that there's chaos, God wants to use you to bring order. Come on, church. The Bible says that they've been there for a long time, and he paints a total picture of devastation, death, and defeat. And Ezekiel was commanded to speak to these bones. Now, sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to a valley of dry bones. As a pastor, where you come out and you have a word to preach and you feel like you gave it all and no one responds, it's like, man, God, they got ears, but they didn't even hear. But what do you do when what you're prophesying to doesn't even have ears? How do you speak to a marriage where there's no hearing left anymore? How do you speak to kids that don't even respond to your voice anymore? How do you preach to a congregation that thinks that they know it all already and they don't need God's influence? How do you declare something in the middle of chaos when people would rather dwell in chaos than live in order? And God gives Ezekiel this responsibility. And he tells them this in verse 3 and 4. He said to them, "Son of man, can these bones live?" CWC Bay Area, I have a question for you. Can your bones live? Yes. Can your bones live? Can your marriage live? Can your family live? Can your business live? Can your church live? Can your city live? Can our state live? Can our nation live? Can our world come alive once again? Do you believe it? Then somebody shout amen. Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel was required by God to speak what God intended to do. And he told Ezekiel this, speak over your valley. Everyone say that with me. Speak over your valley. The problem is we're yelling at the bones. Got a conflict with our spouse? We're yelling at them. Got a conflict with our kids? We're yelling at them. We got a conflict with people around us? We're yelling at them. He says, don't yell at the bones. Yell over the bones. You're too busy yelling at the bones, and that's why they're not moving. You see, nothing changes until the atmosphere shifts. He wants them to speak over the bones because over the bones is the atmosphere. Your atmosphere, your environment determines what grows in your surroundings. And you have to shift the atmosphere before you're going to change the environment. He says, speak over the bones. Some of us are so busy yelling at the bones, yelling at our wife, our kids, at the government, yelling at our state governor. We're yelling at everything else rather than changing the environment. He asked him, can these bones live? And that was a question of possibility. And I want you to notice this. He's not asking Ezekiel for how the bones got there. God's not asking you how the bones ended up in that condition. You're not catching this. Because if you were catching this right now, you would understand that when you keep arguing with your spouse, with your kids, with your boss at work, that you're not changing the environment. You're making that environment worse. He asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? He wasn't asking for Ezekiel's opinion on how they ended up in that condition. Well, the reason they're here is they disobeyed you. Can your marriage live? Well, the reason my marriage is falling apart is my wife doesn't listen to me. It's her fault. The reason my kids are messed up is because they don't respond to my voice. That's not what he asked you. He just asked, can they live? Do you have the faith to believe that God can do it? Do you have the faith to believe that God can answer your vision request for this year? Do you have the faith to believe that God can speak to whatever area you're believing for 2024? Your kid may have never entered a foot into the church all his life, but if you write it down and believe that my child shall be saved and they will serve the Lord, you have the ability, not what brought them to that point, but can you believe that they will live? Oh, come on. Can your vision live? Can your ministry live? Can your church live? Can your family live? Can your grandchildren live? How do you do that? You create the atmosphere by speaking over. Someone say over.
Over.
Over the bones. He tells them to prophesy. That word prophesy, in its simplest form, means to speak. But when we talk about prophecy in the Hebrew context, it means to foretell or foretell. To either tell the future or create the future. Oh, you missed that. To foretell the future or to create the future. So when you prophesy to someone or something, you are speaking possibility. Sometimes when you prophesy, you are prophesying something that you know that God is saying. Listen, this is what's going to happen in the future. That's a prophetic word. But then there's a part of prophecy that creates a future. That when you're sitting there and a word of God goes forth and you didn't consider the possibility and a word goes forth and it hits your spirit, now all of a sudden you were never expecting God to do something, but because that word went forth then it hits your spirit, all of a sudden you come alive and you begin to believe, wow, could this be possible? Could this happen in my life? Could God do this? And as a result, it creates the future. Too many times we are creating the future with negativity. What you speak becomes the environment that your dreams have to try to grow through. You know, you're worthless, you're lazy, you'll never amount to anything. You have created an atmosphere for that child that they will never grow. And they'll become everything that you said that they will become. Your words create worlds. The world you're living in, the environment you dwell in right now, is fashioned and designed by the words that you speak. And sometimes we got to speak over things that aren't listening. Some of you ladies praying for your husbands while he's asleep in bed, you need to rise up and start decreeing things while he's laying there. You know what? You're going to be a man of God. You're going to change this world. God's going to use you in a great way. You're not lazy. You're not a bum. You are a man of God. You love me. You love our kids. You make time for us. And you got to start decreeing an environment. You got to start speaking it until it starts coming forth. Stop arguing with the bones and start prophesying over them. And so I want you to see this. Only certain things grow in certain atmospheres. He asked him in verse 4, he says this. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm almost done, so stay with me. I'm going to close fairly early this morning. I want you to see this. There's a man by the name of Dr. Alfred Tomatis. Dr. Alfred Tomatis is an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And he had an individual come in to meet with him. And he was an opera singer that all of a sudden lost the ability to hit a certain note. He couldn't sing this note anymore. Now, opera singers, when an opera singer sings, they hit 140 decimals. That's more than a jet plane. And so every time he would sing, he would hit notes that was causing his hearing to go deaf. And it got to the point where he could no longer hit a note because he could no longer hear it. The moment you can't hear the voice of God, You can't reproduce what God said. The moment you can't hear the voice of God, the moment you can't hear God speaking, you can't reproduce it. And we have to be able to reproduce what God tells us to say. We have to hear the voice of God. Dad, you got to get a voice of God to speak to your marriage. Husbands and wives, you need to hear the voice of God to lead your family. Pastors, we got to hear the voice of God to lead our churches. Business owners, you got to hear the voice of God to lead your company. We got to know and hear the voice of God if we're going to be able to duplicate it. Amen. We have to hear it. Psalms 33 verse 6 says this: by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host in them by the breath of his mouth. It was God's word that created what we see. See, your world is shaped by your words, not your wishes. Let me say that again. Your world is shaped by your words, not your wishes. We wish we had a better marriage. We wish we had a better family. We wish we had better finances, but we're not speaking it. Your world is developed by the words you speak, not by the wishes that you have. So if you want to change your environment, you have to change the words you speak. You got to watch what you say. Matthew 17, 20 says this, and he told them this: it was because of your lack of faith. I promise you, if you have faith inside you no bigger than the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, someone say, say. Move away from here and go over there. You will see it move. There is nothing you can't do. What am I telling you this morning? I'm saying this. If nothing's moving, it's because no one is speaking. If there's nothing moving in your marriage, nothing moving in your family, nothing moving in your business, moving in your city, moving in your nation, it's because you're not decreeing anything. Amen. Why are we doing Vision Sunday? It's because you got to identify what you're going after. Yeah. You got to know and you got to speak it. Amen. Well, I don't want anyone to know what I'm praying for. You got to speak it. Amen. When Joseph spoke his dreams, his brothers tried to kill it. And they thought they were killing his dream when in actuality they were putting it into motion. Some of you are afraid to speak your dream because what if I don't get there? What if you do? What if you do get there? So what's he do in verse 7? Look at this. I'm almost done. So I prophesied. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there or are you going to prophesy to your bones? Are you going to prophesy? Are you going to speak over your family? Speak over your sobriety? Speak over your mission? Speak over your dreams? He spoke to them. And what happens after he speaks? Notice this. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a what? I tell you this, anytime you begin to speak to your family, you're going to get chaos that's going to start rising up. There's going to be some noise, but you got to block out the noise. As Pentecostals, some of us get excited when we get noise. We get excited when there's noise. Noise means action. Noise means function. But noise, many people stop at the noise. We see all of a sudden, we hear the noise, and it's suddenly the rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. What happened? Order. What happened? Order. The chaos came into order because he spoke the word. But this is the problem. Many of us stop right there. Well, what a miracle. The bones came together. We would have taken pictures. We would have put it on Instagram, TikTok. We would have videotaped the bones coming together and did a little TikTok video, and we would have stopped right there. God doesn't stop at the end of chaos. Once order was brought, he tells them again, speak to them again. And so what's he do? Indeed, I looked, and sinew and flesh came on them, and then skin covered over them. But there was no, there was no. So what he had was a whole valley filled of naked, dead bodies. And just because we see progress, we stop. Oh, you know what? He's come to church with me now. Oh, you know what? She's serving God now. You know what? Now we're not arguing as much anymore. And so we stop just because we made progress. But God never meant for the valley to be filled with bodies that are in order. What good would the breath be if the bodies are just scattered all over? What good would it be for the Holy Spirit to fill your family in the condition you're in right now? What good is the breath if there's no order? So after the valley was filled and brought back into order, then, someone say then.
Amen.
I want you to see. Verse 11. He said to him as we close, "Son of man, these are the whole house of Israel." Let me rephrase this. These bones are CWC Bay Area. They indeed say, "Our bones are dry and our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." And there's people that have felt that way. Verse 12, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus say the Lord God, behold my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come out from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." Verse 13, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened up your graves of my people and brought you up from the grave. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. I will place in you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it." He prophesied one last time, and breath breathed into them. And they rose up an exceedingly great army. Man, you've come a long way. I look around this room right now. I look around this church. And I've seen people that you've come a long way. And I'm proud of you. So proud of you, what you're doing for your family, for your kids. Some of you single moms, single dads that are doing it on your own. Some of you that are trying to break addictions. Some of you that are starting businesses. Some of you that are getting your marriage put back together, getting your family put back together. My prayer, what's the vision for CWC in 2024? My vision is simply this: order. Let's get things in order once again. Let's get things back into order once again. Let's put God first once again. Let's get rid of the chaos and let's get back into order so that when the breath of God shows up, we become an exceedingly great army. That the breath doesn't come on bones that are scattered, on bones that can't do anything. I want the glory of God to be poured on a church that's ready to rise up and take authority, take dominion. Now's the time. Now's the time. I see you coming together. I see the chaos being removed. I see reunion. I see connection. I see healing and restoration. I see breath being blown back in you once again. I see the breath of God coming upon the chaos of your lives to you. I prophesy over you right now. Live. 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 Come on, stand to your feet. Lift your hands all over this place right now. Can these scattered dry bones live? Sometimes you tell me to prophesy over something that has no ears. I'm not responsible for the results, my God, you are. I'm responsible for being obedient to decree the word. It's up to your spirit to put that word into action. And so I prophesy over CWC Bay Area that your best days are still ahead of you. I decree right now that you're... in this moment, in Jesus' name. Come on, listen. Thank you, Pastor. Come on, lift up your hands all over this place right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I speak to those that have no ears right now.
Those that are so spiritually dry, that have been so dried up and so decayed that they don't even have ears to hear your voice this morning. I still prophesy to them because, God, those bones belong to you. Those bones are still yours. And I speak life over those bones in Jesus' name. I speak order over your marriage. I speak order over your life. I speak order. We got some things out of order, and we got to get our priorities straight right now. Lord, I decree order right now in Jesus' name. Some of you are feeling a rattling taking place in your spirit. You're feeling a moving. You're feeling a noise take place. And God is beginning to bring things into order. There are things that you know that God is calling you to do that you've been afraid to do. You've been afraid to step out on. But the Lord's telling you this, that if you would respond to my voice and come together, I will fill you with the breath that you've never experienced before. I will do something that you would never expect in your lifetime. Things you've given up on. And so, Lord, I speak over bones that don't even have the ability to hear right now. I decree, live. I don't care how you got there, live. I don't care where you're at, live. Lord, let us stop worrying about how we ended up in this condition and just respond to your voice right now. I speak to a marriage, live right now. I speak to a family, live. I speak to a business, live. I speak right now to that dream of education, live. I speak right now to that dream of being free, live right now. To get out of debt, live right now. To get healthy, live right now in Jesus' name. To become that man of God, to start that ministry, live. Live right now. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Right where you are, I'm going to have the pastors come take their places here at the altar. Interns, if you would help us here as well. This is what we're going to do in the next few moments. If you haven't filled out your vision card yet, go ahead and do so. Begin to write down what it is you're believing God to do. Write down what it is that you're asking God to do. First fruits is so important because we attach a seed to it. We're not paying for what we want God to do. But we're literally saying this. The first fruits, remember, the children of Israel operated in an agricultural society. They didn't get a paycheck. We don't live in an agricultural society. That gave way to the industrial age and then into the technology age. We get paychecks. We don't get fruit. And when the first fruits came in, the first thing they did after a long season of going without, their first initial idea was to take the fruit that came in and eat it because they were hungry. They had gone through a long winter without food. And so it makes sense to take the harvest and then eat it. But that's not what they did. God commanded them to take the first fruits, the first part of their harvest that came in, and give it unto the Lord. It was an act of faith saying this, Lord, I know there's going to be more. I know that what you've given to me, that what you blessed me with, I'm going to give you the first fruits of it. And I know that whatever comes in after this is going to more than sustain us for the year to come. It was an act of faith. I want you to attach your faith to your gift. I've always been uncomfortable talking about money. That was one area I hated being a pastor. The first few years of this church, I never spoke on money. But I saw our people struggle because I didn't. And I recognize I have to speak on what money is about so that you could be free in that area. I don't want to see you broke anymore. I want to see you blessed. And that as we started teaching the principles of money, we started seeing people get blessed. It's all about faith. This is not a scheme. Okay, God, I'm going to give you $100 and you're going to give me $1,000. It's not how it works. Okay? This isn't a pyramid scheme. But what you're doing is attaching a seed to your first fruits and trusting God. Now, let me say this. If you're here this morning, you have nothing to give. You have no seed to give. I don't want you to hold back from bringing up your vision card. Because we're still going to pray for your vision, whether you got a gift to give or not.
Amen. Thank you for downloading this message. For more information on our church, visit us at cwcbayarea.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CWC Bay Area.